is because of him. You know, there were many prophecies, many statements in the Old Testament announcing what was going to take place and explaining in detail. And even then, when he came, many didn't recognize him. And that is really the way it is with us, that we often are so caught up with our own ideas, with our own things, that we really miss the boat of what God is trying to do. Praise the Lord. You know, we can remember Jesus' death and the establishment of the what? The new covenant that established a relationship between us and God. That is what makes all the difference. That what he came to establish, that what he came to demonstrate, what he came to instruct us for. You know, I'm going to, for example, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Praise the Lord. "All we are sheep has gone astray, have turned away everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That is why Jesus came, that is why Jesus was born, and that's what he accomplished coming in and dying for us. And we had to be grateful. We had to understand what he achieved for us so that we can benefit from what he did. But that is going to take place not just because we play religion, that comes because we have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. And he explained that very well. He showed us what to do. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, you know, the next day, John the Baptist, you know, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You know, and this is the Messiah that was announced for many years, for many centuries. Okay, that was coming to establish the new relationship that we needed to have with God. Bring us back to before the fall. This is what needed to be taking place. But that's going to happen only as we, okay, look at him, as we connect with him. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says very clearly that, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, okay, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this is really, he is our example. He is showing us how to live, show how to, you know, give us the teaching and give you the example, give above all, you know, through his death and resurrection, established the relationship that we can have with God. So today we are going to focus just on him. Focus on his death especially, which is the first part of the transaction. That the next one is going to come on Sunday. Okay, and we are going to, you know, really understand how to make that connection and what he taught us concerning that relationship with him. Okay, our attitude that we have to have today, you know, in traditional religion, they are sad and everything else, but that is finished. That is completed. What he went through was terrific, but many others went through the same thing. But they weren't him. They were sinners. You know, he was not a sinner. He could not have that. He took flesh and blood for us so that he could die in our place. And we had to be completely grateful and, you know, love him because he gave his life for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. No one, okay, experienced the same thing that Jesus experienced. The one who were crucified like him, or even worse, they did not go through the spiritual ordeal if Jesus went through, as he took all the sins of the world on himself. And we have to understand that, because there is wrong understanding about even that area, especially in these days. Even the Bible is not being translated very clearly, many of the translation, and doesn't indicate clearly what took place at that time. Okay, that's why the error came up. Anyway, let's continue. So the our attitude, okay, is really to be able to connect with him. Okay, Jesus, okay, became man so that he could die for our sin. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 says, clearly this was God's plan, God's resolution for a impossible problem that we were in. Okay, says there, yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sins, this is the key thing. You know, that in this word here, he made him an offering for sin. But he wasn't sinning. He did not sin, the way some people say. The way some people interpret the thing. Jesus did not die spiritually on the cross. That's heresy. Jesus was God. God cannot sin. It's just because the translation wasn't very clear. And not all the translations, some have been clear, and I'm going to show them some too. Okay, but anyway, this is important to understand, because otherwise when you say something that contradicts all the scriptures. Okay, now, so continue here. So he became an offering for sins. And he shall see his seed, God shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, of his spirit, and he be satisfied. His knowledge his knowledge of the righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He is not becoming a sinner himself, but he will bear the iniquities and becomes like a scapegoat who didn't sin. He was taking the sin of the people, putting their hand on them, and was going in the desert and died in their place. Well, that was just a formality. That was just a symbolic thing. But with Jesus, was not a formality. Was not a symbolic thing. And what he did was completely different with what a scapegoat does. Because he cannot deal with sin. He just paid for it. But Jesus dealt with all the sin of the world, overcoming them. You have to understand that. And the Bible says very clearly that in many places. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that's where the power of the gospel comes from. That Jesus himself dealt with the sin in us so that we can take his righteousness. But we didn't put our sin on him. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 says, about that hour, Jesus cried and said, Lord, Eli, Eli, Sato Mashani, you know, my God, that means, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that time, when he was just ready to die, he was experiencing all the attacks and the enemy was bringing. Just read Psalm 22. He was surrounded by bulls trying to attack him. Okay, where all the enemy attacking him, putting, you know, all the temptations of the world upon him. All the sins of the world upon him. No, but he did not receive it. He fought it back. He resisted because he was God. And in his spirit, he was stronger than all the forces of darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is important to understand. He didn't go under. He could not have gone under in taking the key of sin and death from Satan if he would have been a sinner. He went there as victorious because he was victorious on the cross. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that. That changes everything. Okay. So it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, okay, he said, it is finished. You see, the battle he overcome. You see, he said what I read before, you know, the soul, the struggle, the labor of his soul. What was the labor of his soul? Is the one to resist and break the power of darkness. And because he was God, he could do it. Because he was sinners, he was do it, could do it. And Ephesians, in Hebrew, says exactly the same thing. He was tempted, as we are tempted in all things, yet without sin. And that reinforces exactly what I'm saying to you today. We have to understand, Jesus had complete victory over the enemy, to the point that he even took away the keys of death. Hallelujah. We have something to rejoice about. We have just something to be grateful for, because no one can do that. No one could have done that, because no one is free from sin. We are born in sin. But he was free from sin. He was completely able, as the Son of God, as God himself, part of the Trinity, to overcome all the temptations that were out, the attacks that were thrown against him. His body given, but not his spirit. He said, and he, what it says there at the end, you know, it is finished, and give up his spirit. And his spirit was victorious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, bottom line is really, you know, that he did something that no one can do. No one, no man can do. He did something that is the biggest things that ever happened in humanity. Okay. And he did it by being obedient to what the Father has prepared for him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, said, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Okay. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every in heaven and earth and even under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God, the Father. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the scripture, for example, that says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 25, often is translated as, and he made him to be sin for us, so that, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Well, proper theologians have approached this translation and criticized it because it does not reflect the truth. He does not made sin. The word there, made, okay, is a word in Greek that can be translated in two ways. Okay. And, you know, I can read you the translation that reflects that, but there is one that I even prefer. Okay, and it says here, you know, the word there is poieo, which actually generally means made, but actually in, the majority text often is used instead of lambano. So, you know, he took sin from man. He didn't was made sin. And he took it, and he dealt with it. That's the big difference we have to understand. Okay. So, you know, Dr. Malcolm Lavender says, you know, translated properly, now the one not having experienced sin, he took sin on our behalf, in order that we may be made righteousness by God in him. That is really possibly the best, one of the best translations. But Williams did exactly the same thing. He said, he made him who personally knew nothing of sin to be sin suffering for us, so that through union with him, that is critical, okay, we may become the right standing with God. Okay, so this is really the thing that makes the difference, the thing that we can understand. Jesus was without sin, and he confronted temptations, confronted sin, you know, for all of us. And because of his ability, his power, because he was sinless, he destroyed the power of sin. He made sin and all the forces of darkness a show of them, taking away from them all their power in confrontation with them, in battle for them. He battles for us. We don't need to battle the enemy. We need to go to Jesus, and he will impart to us as we trust in him, as we connect with him, as we allow what he has done to be the things that guide our life, so that we can, okay, have a relationship, a love relationship with him. If you love me, you obey my commandment. As we obey his commandment, sin has no power over us. Hello. Praise the Lord. It's not our power. It's not our battle. It's his victory that we can come into. And that's all the idea of the new covenant. It's not. See, the covenant between us and God is through him, and the covenant made God our defense, our the one that gives us the victory. Are you following what I'm saying? When we understand that, and we believe that, and we establish that relationship with Jesus, we have victory. Because he is the name above all the names, above everywhere. All the authority, all authority is given to him. But we had to be in him. We had to be connected with him. And so, I'm going to go back a moment. I don't want to take it too long because I think this is, you know, if we grasp that, even just a simple concept I dig you, you know, we have the power to overcome all every world of temptation when we are connected with him. Okay. When Jesus taught the apostles, the disciples, these principles, and explained it, that was at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, okay, he was talking about his communion, his love relationship with the Father and the Father with him. And his love relationship with us and us with him. And with the Father, because we are all connected together. The love relationship, okay, is the basis for the new covenant. Okay. And it's interesting in the way it's described, you know, it's not even in John, but in the others, you know, the other gospel. During the Lord's Supper, okay, often people say, you know, he established communion, you know, for the things. I really think that actually he was simply showing us how to keep that relationship and how to maintain the new covenant with God. It was normal in those days for people to have a meal and have bread and wine. So it was something that was going on every day. It wasn't something that was going on once in a while in church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, he was telling, you know, every time you come together and you share a meal together and you see that wine and you see that bread, remember me. Remember what I have done. This is going to be the mnemonic way for you to know about what I did all the time and not to forget it. Every day you see it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We don't need formality. You see, this became a religious ceremony after, because mystics tend to do that all the time. Jesus wasn't a mystic. He was a spiritual man and God himself. Didn't need, see, mystics worked with the mind. The power, trying to use power from the mind. God's power is in the spirit. So, you can see, for example, from the word himself said on the Last Supper, yeah. Okay. You know, and when the hour had come, he sat down in Luke chapter 22, verse 14. He sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, you know, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew exactly what was going to suffer. You know, in the suffering that he was referring, it was the fact that he was going to have to deal with all the enemy and all the demonic forces of the world. Okay. Now, you know, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of this until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, gave it thanks, and said, take this, eat, you know, divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine or until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, that's why. Likewise, for the cup, he said the same thing, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He was explaining exactly the way they should remember. In remembrance of me, do this as a symbol, as a reminder, as a helper for you to be connected with me and with the Father and the promise of the Father. Praise the Lord. And so when it's, you know, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, give the instruction, really saying the same thing. What we do is we remember what he has done. And the symbol that he used with the bread and the wine as a symbol of his body and his blood, giving those things for us. And as we connect with what he has done and, you know, connect with him and have a relationship with him and have that connection that guide us in victory over the temptation of the enemy, and when, you know, actually do what he says to do all the time, then we are going to experience the power of the new covenant working in us and giving victory. Praise the Lord. So we are going to follow the same example that they did that particular day. And we have some juice from the wine and some bread for us. And we can, you know, do that remembering him. You said there in a, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, I'm going to make it short. I don't need to be so long. Okay. starts here. So, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is the body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, you know, the following verse. In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, eat in remembrance of me." Okay. And as you offer to you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So that's what we are going to go to do right now. We have both the bread and the juice for us, and I'm not going to go there because I'm stuck here for the time being. My wife is going to do it. Praise the Lord. And so you can do it the same. You know, first the people here from on the stage are going to do it. Then you come down here on, actually, maybe, you know, the one from, the one that looks after the sound, because he's going to make some music for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just acknowledge, Lord, what you did for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, and Lord, in you we receive from you, Lord. Whoops. We had to do something about those cables. Praise the Lord. You okay? Praise the Lord. All right. So we just receive, Lord, what you did by Jesus' stripes. Lord, we were healed. The Bible says, Lord, that you die, you know, taking our sins upon yourself so that we may be able to be free from them and receive, Lord, all the blessing that will come with the new covenant. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that in you we can have victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Music?
So, yeah. You can come first, and then, you know, starting from the front here, we can, or whatever, maybe that, Columbia can come first, otherwise it's more difficult for him to do it later.
Thank you. Each time you do,
just remember, Lord. Lord, we just trust you, trust in what you have done. Lord, we depend on you in what you have done, Lord, for us. And Lord, in obedience, Lord, to you, Lord, we follow your direction. We follow your teaching. You follow, Lord, your instruction, Lord, both to remember what you have done and to walk according to your ways. Thank you that in you, Lord, we are in the new covenant. In you, Lord, we benefit from what you have done, Lord, that day on the Radke cross for us, taking our sins, Lord, on yourself, and Lord, breaking their power, both for us and for yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.
So we do have refreshments. Perhaps you can stay here for 5 minutes or so while we set the tables. Thank you.